and welcome to the 19th episode in the third season of the Hijinx TV podcast. It is I am he is we, and together we are the hosts of Hijinx TV. I am your friendly local neighborhood Dick Nubba, here to give you another, different kind of podcast. Because things have happened in my life recently that have really fucked me up mentally, and I still haven't gotten over it. And my therapist, I am very happy I finally found a good therapist, suggested when I told him I enjoy doing podcasts that maybe this would be not only a release for me, but also maybe other people are dealing with something similar, and it might help them to get through hearing that other people are dealing with similar problems, so you don't feel alone like I felt. I have felt so alone, and I'm realizing through therapy that I'm not alone. There's a lot more people that are dealing with exactly or very fucking similar to what I'm dealing with. And as I was talking to her, I realized that something similar had happened before. And I'm just repeating the cycle over and over and over again for the last fucking over 10 years. And so this is going to be the divorce podcast. Sit back, relax, and let's get into it. So, repeating the cycle. I mentioned that I had been repeating the cycle for over 10 fucking years with relationships. And what I mean by that is when I was about 18 years old, I finally had gotten my driver's license. I failed my driver's license test when I was 16 and got very discouraged of trying again. And I didn't do it again until I turned 18 and I got my driver's license. And I was so excited that I could drive. I lived in Bremerton. I was so excited I could drive from Bremerton down to Long Beach to hang out with people. This was around the time that Facebook was starting to kind of get going, and I was making friends with, you know, friends, people that I went to school with, and they were introducing me to people. And one of them had suggested that I meet her friend, and so her friend and I started talking, and we quote unquote hit it off. And within a week, I went down and had met her for the first time, went over to her house, and right away, within, you know, 20 minutes, we were getting intimate. And she had told me within several days of that she loved me. So I moved from Bremerton down to Long Beach to move in with her. She was living with her dad at the time. And so we had our bedroom, but you know, the house was shared with her dad. And so we had stayed there for I don't remember exactly how long, but he ended up selling the house. We ended up moving up to Bremerton, and I got a job there at Sizzler, and I was working 6 to 7 days a week, usually open to close. So I was gone all day long working so I could pay the rent, pay the bills. And after about 6 months or so, I noticed that she had started getting more distance. And I thought it was just because I was working so much. But anyway, after about 6 months, she finally said that she wanted to move back down to Long Beach and go live with her mom. That we needed to move back down there and go live with her mom. So packed up all of our shit, gave no notice because she didn't want us to give any notice to anybody. She just wanted to pack up her shit and leave, like, as soon as possible. So we did, because I wanted to make her happy. We had gotten engaged at this point, so we were engaged. and she had been telling me she wanted to try to have a baby and all this shit. So, you know, I really wanted to do anything to make her happy. So we moved back down to Long Beach Peninsula. This was 2007. This was 2007 when this happened. And when we finally moved back down there. And July of 2007, we had been moving back down there. We had been there for a couple months. And, you know, things weren't going great. And in MySpace, it wasn't Facebook. It was when MySpace was big. So it was through MySpace that I had that I was having my friends had set me up. Anyway, so it was through MySpace. So one day before I went to work, I went to go check my MySpace. She forgot to log out of her MySpace. So as soon as I turned the computer on, I see the message that she had left open. This message was to a guy who lived about 45 minutes away from us in Bremerton. And they had been screwing for quite a few months, and he wanted to get serious. She didn't tell him that I existed. So I did something I wasn't happy about. I got really upset. I went, this was the woman that I thought at the time, you know, I loved. This was my soulmate, whatever. And so I went outside. I ended up, this is a story for another time, but ended up punching a window, severing my main artery, bleeding out, legally died 2 times in 1 week. And shortly after I got my staples removed from my wrist, she told me she wanted to break up and wanted me to move out. I had absolutely nowhere to go. I had a Volkswagen Fox, 1986 Volkswagen Fox, small fucking car, is a manual though. I loaded all that up and I just slept in my car for a few days, trying to figure out where the fuck I was gonna go. Cell phones weren't big at the time, so I really didn't have any way to get a hold of anybody. And that, I never got over that. I never even spoke about that until right now. And later on in this podcast, you'll see why I say that I have been repeating my cycles. Because that wasn't the first time I caught her cheating. I caught her cheating before that, and I forgave her and told her, you know, we can work through this, if you want to. And she said that she did want to. So I forgave her, and she ended up leading some other guy on and getting too serious and essentially running away from Bremerton to get away from him. This segment turned a little bit longer than I thought. I've got some shit that I need to do, so I will record another segment here in a little bit. But that felt good, finally getting that off my chest. So thank you for listening. All right, well, the next segment, shortly after that, that first messy breakup there, I moved up to Bremerton, Washington, and started working back at my old job, Sizzler. And ended up meeting my first wife. I knew she had 2 kids when I started showing interest in her, but I was 18 at the time, almost 19, and I was girl crazy. I wanted to have a quote unquote girlfriend. And so I pursued her for a few months, and not realizing until much later on exactly our age gap. Had I known our age gap, I probably would not have persisted in that. Anyway, so within a couple of days of us officially... No, it wasn't. It was actually it was on my birthday that I finally made a move, and she finally gave in, and the next day I kind of started moving in with her. I started taking her home after work because we worked together, and so I'd drive her home and I'd just stay the night there. We ended up moving in together really fucking quick. And, sorry, my joint keeps going out. And, it was just a toxic relationship from the beginning. She was using me to get back at one of her exes that also worked at the Sizzler. And, there was never really any love there on her side. I know that for a fact, but I had fallen in love with her, so I was willing to try to do anything and everything to try to make it work. We ended up getting married. I thought maybe if we got married that she would stop cheating on me, and that we could be happy together. It did not happen. She was alcoholic, and that did not make for a great relationship. We ended up towards the end being homeless, living in a hotel, and with three kids at the time. I had already told her before we even moved into this hotel. Yeah, I wasn't happy. I wanted a divorce. And she threatened to take my son. So I told her, okay, well, then we'll work it out. Try to, whatever. There's no working shit out with somebody if they don't want to change. I didn't realize that at the time. I didn't know what narcissism was. I didn't know what a narcissistic person could do to somebody to manipulate them and gaslight them into thinking that they were doing something wrong, when in fact that person is the one who's doing something wrong. Those words will come up again throughout the podcast: narcissism and gaslighting. Anyway, so after a while, I finally had enough, and She had regained contact with her mother, and her mother would come over and watch the kids. And so I had her mother come over and watch her kids, and I had my mother come up and help me move my stuff and my son down to the coast. I let her know that we were going to be going down there, that we were going to be getting a divorce, and now we work on a parenting plan. And she agreed to all this. And then February 20th of 2012, February 20th of 2012, 11 years ago, was the last time I saw my son. My brother and his ex-wife, they still lived up in Bremerton, and they came down for my mom's birthday, and they ended up taking him back up to my ex-wife for her time with him. At that time, we were supposed to be sharing him. She'd have him a month, I'd have him a month, until he got to school age. And then she would have him for the school year, I'd have him for the summer, or vice versa. Whatever she decided she wanted to do. Because I wasn't going to be an asshole and try to take her fucking child away from her. Our child away from her. In April... March. She had already moved from where she was and didn't let me know where she went. by April, I was sitting in a jail cell for false allegations of taking my son outside in just a diaper in 19 degree weather. And I was looking at life in prison. My lawyer, if you even call him that, was just fucking terrible. They allowed for her and her family and friends that I'd never even met before to make claims, but they wouldn't allow me or my family, who we were living with at the time, that can testify that it didn't happen, wouldn't let them make any statements because my lawyer's words were, well, they could lie for you. To which I responded, well, they are lying for her. To which he responded, well, that's up to you to prove. How the fuck do you prove that somebody's lied? How do you do that? Unless you have them on fucking recording. How do you do that? And he told me there's no way to do that. If I were to go in front of a jury, I would be found guilty. I would be going to jail for at least 12 years to life. I would. And told me that the only way out of going to jail was to take a plea bargain. I didn't understand exactly what a plea bargain was. I didn't even fully understand that the judge, even though I accepted a plea bargain, the judge didn't have to accept it, and I could have still spent the rest of my life in prison for something I didn't do. I don't even know how to comprehend the mental toll that takes on somebody and what that does to somebody emotionally and mentally. It's taken me over 10 years, and I still, every time I think about it, it hurts. And it really fucks with you. It does. This segment turned in a little bit longer than I had anticipated, so let's get on with the next segment. Alright, well, this next one, we're gonna roll into these next three, we're just gonna roll into one, because this podcast is already getting longer than I usually make them. So this one, we'll cover Bam Bam Bam, because I had a little bit of a, you know, after that last segment, I had a bit of a downward fucking spiral mentally, and spent the next few years just in a drunken haze, not doing well mentally. So fast forward through a bunch of it. Excuse me. I ended up meeting a girl. She was a bit younger than me. She was with somebody else. They were like online boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. But like the day that we met, she was talking about all these sexual things that she would do on webcam for him. And just saying very, very vulgar things. But, you know, my drunken self was like, oh, this cute girl's talking about sex in front of me. She must want something. After a couple of days, she started showing physical interest by like slapping my butt when I would walk by her. And after a week, when she was still with this guy, she had broken up with him that day. We had, quote unquote, started a relationship and moved in together. Like, literally within a day, we moved in together. Again, red flags, Matt. Red fucking flags. Anyway. So. Moved in together. Ended up moving to Vancouver. Living with her dad. Her mom and her dad had been divorced. So we went to Vancouver and lived with her dad. Things didn't go well up there. Because of my social anxiety. And my general anxiety. And people, when you tell them that you have general anxiety and social anxiety, they don't understand that there are two things, and that they are different, and that they all come with their super special superpowers. The majority of people who are like, oh, I understand how it feels to have anxiety. Like, you might feel anxious every now and then because, you know, you're getting excited about waiting for something or whatever. But, like, actual anxiety, like, I can't get out of my car and go into a fucking store because there's too many people. Like, look at all the people that are inside of a store. And then look at the amount of cars and see if there's anybody sitting in them. Anyway. We ended up moving back down to the coast. I found a job. I got a good job as a cook. We ended up getting our own apartment. And I was working every day as a karaoke host eventually. And yeah, I was getting drunk every day. So I was spending a lot of time at the bars. A lot of time at my bar that I worked at, drinking and doing karaoke all fucking day long for people. Because they would see me and go, oh, let's go to karaoke, even though it wasn't karaoke time. But anyway, so eventually I discovered that she was going on dates. She actually told me this, that she went on a date with somebody on World of Warcraft. that sounds so stupid unless you play the game. Yeah, she actually went on a date with somebody on World of Warcraft, and he started taking his character's clothes off and getting more comfortable. And then I saw messages on her Xbox profile from this other guy and saw that they became Facebook friends. And she eventually disclosed to me that he told her the first time he saw her photo that he had to touch himself because he couldn't contain it. And I know other shit was being said as well, but anyway, so that led me on another downward fucking spiral, eventually telling me that she didn't ever love me, she just enjoyed, I won't get too graphic, she enjoyed our, alone time, and so I had very little self-esteem at that time. And so, but during this time while we were breaking up, a friend had started coming over and she was helping me with doing filming and stuff. She was telling everybody that she was a he, and I mean, she was confused at the time, I guess. I don't know. That's not my deal. Anyway, so I figured it's fine to hang out with him. It's fine. Even though that I had a crush on her when we were younger, but I was like, whatever. Little did I know that they had alternative motives for hanging out with me. So one night we were working on videos late at night and we're going to go to sleep while the girl I was with was at work. I went and lay down in bed and she followed and, you know, things happened. And I knew that the actual relationship I was in was over. Again, I was drinking a lot. I figured she was already screwing around with people. Why is it not all right for me? So that happened, and I felt guilty as fuck. and ended up telling her about it. And so while these two were ending, somebody else had started messaging me on my social medias. I was live streaming a lot, and it was a quote-unquote fan that had started messaging me a lot. And because I was dealing with a lot of fucking mental health issues and drinking a lot, and I felt like nobody had actually loved me, she eventually made me think that she did. She lived out in Alabama, and I live out in Oregon. She talked me into quitting my job and moving back to Alabama with no place to go. Now, what I found out during this courtship, if you will call it that, was that she was married still and living with her husband still while she was talking me into moving out to Alabama to be with her and to eventually get married. Sound narcissistic to you? Because it does to me. Anyway, I did. I quit my job. I left my apartment. That's another story that I'll tell you about my apartment. That was funny as fuck. And I moved to Alabama. I was there for 2 weeks. And I realized that she wasn't going to be leaving her husband, and that I was going to be sitting in a fucking hotel room by myself most of the fucking day, waiting for her to come hang out for maybe an hour or two at most while he was at work. I eventually came back here, and that's when I had met another girl. And so I guess we're wrapping four into this one segment. So her and I were together for about 3 years. 2.5 years in, I noticed things were getting suspicious and she was acting different. She had a profile picture of both of us at first, and then all of a sudden just her. And so, and this is a reoccurring fucking thing. Okay, if somebody gives you the passcode for their phone, all right, and tells you, if you ever get suspicious of me, feel free to go through my phone. I don't have anything to hide. If those fucking words ever come out of somebody's fucking mouth and they aren't handing you their phone, they're still having it over and hiding the screen from you, don't trust that motherfucker. Because when you do get suspicious, and when you do go through their phone because they gave you the passcode and told you that you can go through their phone if you start getting suspicious, they will flip the fuck out and make you out to be a crazy psycho motherfucker when they have been gaslighting you and doing things just to fuck with you. And no, that's not at one specific person. That is what this girl was doing to me. So 2.5 years in, she starts acting suspicious. She had given me, because this meme has been going around for years with the Kermit the Frog, "Y'all so in love, this Valentine's Day swap phones. See how many of you stay together." I've shown that to two of my past relationships, and each of them, the moment I fucking showed them that, gave me their passcodes and told me, if you ever get suspicious of me, go through my phone. I don't have anything to hide. Red flag, Matt. Red flag. So I did, and I saw a bunch of shit that I did not want to fucking see. And I still stayed with her. I skipped over one of my other traumatic relationships and that. No, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so I still stayed with her. So, what I found out was that she was essentially a call girl. She was leaving me at work on rainy days to start walking. We lived like 30 miles away from where I worked. And one night I got left at work and I had to start walking. I was left there for 3 fucking hours because she was up in Portland screwing somebody for money. That's what I found out on her phone. And I still tried to fucking work it out. And still, to this day, I kick myself in the ass every single time I think about that, because I feel like I was pathetic for letting myself deal with all of that shit and letting people do that to me. And I don't understand how I felt like that was okay for them to do that shit to me. I still don't, but things are different now for me mentally and spiritually and emotionally. So talking about it for the first time ever publicly is really lifting a weight off my chest today. So thank you guys for listening. We're gonna get into one more segment, maybe two, and I really hope that hearing that somebody else has dealt with what you're maybe dealing with or have dealt with in the past can help lift weights off other people's shoulders. So let's get on with the next segment. All right, well, this podcast has gone on a lot longer than I thought it was going to, but that's all right. I've left some stuff out, but who gives a shit? We're gonna get into the last segment here. My current divorce that I'm going through that sparked all of this, and so I'll make this story as quick as possible, because I don't want this to be an hour long podcast. I want you guys to be able to listen to it, and hopefully one sitting, or if you need to take a couple of sittings, that's fine. Anyway, so after the last breakup, it was about, I don't know, almost 2 years before I really started trying to find somebody to have a life with. I didn't want to keep dating. I didn't want a forever girlfriend. I wanted a wife. And that's what I thought I met when I met my current soon-to-be ex-wife. We had met on a dating app. We had started talking. We had talked for a few days. She was out hunting. We lived really close to each other. I lived in Astoria. She lived in Napa, which was only like 20 minutes away from me. And she worked here in Astoria. I was like, well, I mean, like, this could work out. Turns out that years before, when I first started singing karaoke, not running karaoke, but when I first started singing karaoke, the karaoke host that at that time made me sing a duet with a girl, Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow, whatever fucking song that was. Turns out that girl that the karaoke host made me sing a song with was this girl. We had come back into contact. So I felt like, oh my God, this is fate. Like, we're meant to be together. And that's what I stupidly had said to her. And she agreed. She said, yeah, you know, maybe that is why we found each other again. So, within the first week, she came over to my apartment for the first time. And, within not even an hour, we were in bed together. And within a couple of days, she had told me, I really do love you. And within another week, I was moving in with her. Red flags, Matt. Red flags all over the fucking place. Like, if this was the Super Bowl, we'd still be in the first quarter. So we moved in together. And everything was going fine. We both had our own jobs. And eventually we ended up working together. And that's when things really started going downhill. She would work when she would work her shift, she'd work all day. I would work in the morning for a few hours doing prep and dishwashing. And then I'd take off and then I'd come back and close as a dishwasher. So like when I was going home, so I personally had people in car crashes before. So when I go somewhere, I will let you know when I'm leaving, when I get to my destination, so you know that I'm safe. That's it. So leading up to this, like, she would respond to my text messages all the fucking time. So eventually, after we started working together and I was letting her know, hey, I'm running to the house, and then I text her when I get there, hey, I got here, she had been texting me, okay, love you, see you when you get back. So slowly she stopped doing that, and then telling me that she wasn't getting my text messages. But I'd be, every time I'm around her, anybody else that text messaged her, even her ex, bam, she'd get a text message right away. Yet mine weren't coming through, hardly fucking ever. This led to our first fight, and I, you know, eventually told her that it makes me feel like she's ignoring me, when she's doing that. And I was told to suck it up, get over it. That's how she is. She's not gonna change. And I didn't think about that hard enough. I kept thinking, you know what, if I love her enough, she will change. She'll see that I love her, and she'll change. And I still ended up asking her to marry me. We were together for almost 4 years. We were married for almost two. This May 9th would have been 2 years that we were married. We didn't even make it 2 years. So that was our first fight where I told her how I was feeling, and she told me that my feelings didn't matter. And I still, you know, we went on to get married. After we got married, she was working at a new place. And one day she had told me that her coworker had told her that she has a cute butt. Her coworker is a female. Then told her that she was bisexual and had a crush on her. When me and my soon-to-be ex-wife first got together, she had told me she was bisexual. I told her that I don't care. You're with me. I don't care if you're bisexual. Obviously, if you were gay, you wouldn't be with me. So that's not a problem. So when she tells me this about her coworker telling her that she has a cute butt, I jokingly said, I don't need to worry about her hitting on you while you guys are driving, while you're giving her a ride home, because she was giving her a ride home all the fucking time. And she quickly cut me off and said, I'm not bisexual. I'm not like that. Okay. Well, that's weird. I didn't bring it up at the time that you told me you were when we first got together when we were talking on the dating app. I really wish I would have had saved those messages so I could show her. Narcissistic people will deny to make you feel like you're crazy. It's called gaslighting. So, anyway, a week goes by. And my soon-to-be ex-wife texts me to tell me that they're going out to happy hour after work. At 6 p.m., she texts me to tell me that she's giving her coworker that hit on her a ride home. Where her coworker lived was about 15 minutes away from the bar. Her trip from her coworker's house to our house would have been about half hour. I know, because I grew up in the area. So, 3 hours goes by, and I don't hear a fucking peep. When I finally get her on the phone after 9 p.m., she's, oh, I'm so sorry, baby, talking all lovey-dovey. I just got home and got in the shower. Well, that's weird, because you don't do that every night. Like, you took a shower this morning, and I know you because we're married, and I've known you long enough to know that when you shower in the morning, you usually don't shower until the next morning. I mean, she worked at a vet clinic, and she would come home and tell me that she had the fucking anal glands squirted on her and not take a shower. She'd go change her clothes, but not take a shower. So The 3 hour time where I didn't hear from her, I already was suspicious. And then the way that she was talking to me, and that she got home and didn't respond to the several text messages that I had sent her. Just went and got in the shower real quick, raised some more flags, but obviously Matt was too fucking stupid to listen to the red flags. And so I get home and I see in the bathroom that the cat is digging scratch, scratch, scratch at her panties. Picked the cat up so he'll leave her underwear alone, and they fall to the ground, and I see a stain, a fresh stain. I immediately shut down mentally because I knew what happened. I knew right then and there why I hadn't heard from her for 3 fucking hours. And for several months, I didn't feel like we should be together. I kept telling myself, you guys need to get a divorce. This isn't good for you. She doesn't love you. If she's willing to do this and then lie to you, and when you come home, she smiles at you and kisses you and tells you that she loves you after she was doing this with somebody else, after she fucking denied that she was even like that. And maybe she didn't go have sex with that girl. Maybe she went and had sex with some guy. I don't fucking know, though, because she won't tell me, even though I've confronted her and told her that I know. And here's how I know. She still denies it. Nothing happened that night. Nothing happened that night. Nothing happened that night. That's what she says. So, just recently, this happened this last November. This last November, she's talking about having a Twitter and all the stuff that she's seen on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, I used to use Twitter. I'm going to get back on Twitter. And lo and behold, it pops up people you may know. And there's Miss Star, my wife, using my last name on a Twitter account. So I go to it and I see her, it looked like a dating profile, 35.f.by.ns, whatever the fuck NS means. Never mentioned that she was married. And all the things that she was saying on this Twitter account, she would totally just ignore me. And then she started having an obsession. She has an obsession with fucking One Direction and Harry Styles. And I had jokingly said something about her having thinking Harry Styles was sexy, and she denied it. She's like, I don't even find him attractive. He has really good music, but I don't find him attractive. Then why the fuck are you commenting on a shirtless picture of him? Fuck, he is beautiful. Why do you have screenshots of all these other guys on your phone? Why are you sending other guys hearts and messages and flirtatiously talking to them? Yes. Yes. She gave me her passcode and told me if I got suspicious to go through her phone. And she made me feel suspicious. So this is how she made me feel suspicious. So I see this profile that says that she's bisexual. And I asked her about it. I confronted her about it and why she lied to me about being bisexual. And she said, and I quote in a text, I don't have an answer for you. Well, that's the same as fucking lying. So I noticed that she deleted the Twitter profile, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So she deleted it. Okay, so maybe we can still work on things, and maybe she's going to stop doing this stuff behind my back and talking to these people the way that she is. Several days goes by and we're being all lovey-dovey, and then she lets it slip that she saw something on Twitter, and I'm like, huh, I thought you didn't have a Twitter. So she hid this Twitter account for several days and then made it public, but it wasn't connected to her at all. So when she had done the Twitter, when she deleted one Twitter and then made another Twitter, I was obviously suspicious again. Well, I saw that she was saying this stuff about these guys and posting pictures that are in her camera roll, which means that she's saving or screenshotting photos of people to post online. Because one of them was, what's the sixth photo in your camera roll? And bam, there's a shirtless guy. Wasn't me. So she had done these things to fuck with my head. A week had gone by that she had did this. And I finally went through her phone and I saw the shit that she was saying. And I screenshotted it and sent it to myself because I knew that she was going to deny it and try to make me seem like I was crazy and that she wasn't doing jack shit. So I finally tell her, and she finally was like, why did you go through my phone? Because you made me feel suspicious because you were doing things. I asked her, why did you delete your Twitter profile and then make a new one? And why were you doing all this? She tells me, I did it just to fuck with you. When I asked her, why did you do something just to fuck with my head? She... This is where I can't even. She fucking tells me, I didn't say I did it to fuck with your head. I did it to fuck with you. She has a degree in psychology. How can you have a degree in psychology and tell somebody who has, you know, depression, anxiety, PTSD, all these fucking things, and they're open about them and have told you about them. How can you fucking tell somebody, I didn't do something to fuck with your head, I did it to fuck with you? Because your head is a part of you. Like, everything that happens is up in your brain. I don't have a degree in psychology, and I fucking understand this. So how the fuck can somebody who has a degree in fucking psychology not understand that fucking with somebody and fucking with their head, doing things to fuck with somebody and doing things to fuck with somebody's head are exactly the same fucking thing? So she told everybody about screenshots from her therapist and didn't tell anybody about the screenshots of the conversations she was having with men, and didn't tell people about the screenshots that she has on her phone of these guys, shirtless guys, and it has done her due diligence to make me seem like I'm fucking crazy. Classic fucking narcissist. That's blunt, but that's what it is. It's a narcissist. And it took me a month, a little over a month, to finally process that goodbye was the best thing that's happened to me. Because I know now what I want in a relationship and what I won't tolerate anymore. And I know that there is a person that's gonna make me feel happy again and make me smile and make me feel like I'm not just there for them to have sex with whenever they want. And then when I start getting too quote unquote clingy because I'm showing affection and not just sex, throw me in the garbage like I'm trash. I don't deserve that. Nobody deserves that. And people who do that to other people, you're never going to have a happy life. Never. There's going to be moments in your life where you're going to feel happy, but at the end of the day, you're going to be fucking miserable every goddamn day of your life. But I won't be, because I know that I'm not going to be with a narcissistic person anymore. This segment went on a lot fucking longer than it did, than I wanted it to, so let's get to the outro. Alright, well, that is going to wrap up the 19th episode in the third season of the Hijinks TV podcast, and holy shit, we're getting closer and closer to the season 3 finale. Oh my god. This last year, 2022, we were in the top 49% of the comedy podcasts on all of Spotify. That is fucking crazy. I didn't think we'd be able to get that high. So, you guys keep on sharing. I'll keep on sharing. Now that I'm not in Facebook jail, I will keep sharing to the places that I was sharing to that I believe helped got us around the world. And you guys sharing from those sites have helped us get around the world. And I can't thank you enough. This podcast, I know, was a lot different. It wasn't a comedy podcast. This was more of a therapeutical podcast to help myself get things off my chest that I otherwise would just be letting eat away at me for years and years and years. And I don't want to hold on to that anymore. I don't want to take that into my next relationship. And I want to be able to give that person 100% of my trust and love and affection, and I don't want my past to skew that at all like it has before. And I can honestly say that I know that there's somebody out there that makes me smile. And I'm all the goodbyes led to this hello, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope that hearing these stories about what I've gone through, even if you didn't go through the exact same thing, if you went through something similar, I hope that if you had held on to that, that you find a way to let that go. Even if you can't tell that person how much they hurt you, because they've just left and you can't talk to them again, or because when you did tell them to their face that your words fell on deaf ears because they didn't fucking care. That's just a fact of life. Some people just don't care, but you'll find somebody who does. And when you do, you're gonna feel like everything in the past was for a reason, and that's exactly where it's gonna stay, is in the past. So thank you guys for tuning in to this podcast. The next one we're gonna be putting out a lot quicker than this one took. Got really busy at work, but we'll be getting some more podcasts out and some comedy podcasts out. I've been listening to my old podcasts to get inspiration for some new podcasts, and I think I've got some great inspirations for some new podcasts and some new things and some new businesses and endeavors and shit. And all right, well, let's let you guys get on with your day. Thank you guys again for tuning in. We'll be back next time, and remember to invite all your friends. I heard a little bit.